All right, everybody. We're gonna dive into the passage we're gonna be doing this morning. It's an exciting passage. We've been in this series. It's called the I Am series. And the reason it's called the I Am is because through the book of John, which is a biography of Jesus, one of Jesus' favorite disciples, there are several times throughout that book where Jesus says, I am. I am, and he refers to many things. He says, I am the light. I am the true shepherd. Today, we're going to be touching on this passage where Jesus says, I am the true grapevine. And these I am statements are really, really important because Jesus, as he says, I am, he's actually proclaiming himself to be God. It goes all the way back to the Old Testament where God reveals himself to Moses through this burning bush. And as Moses comes up to this burning bush, God speaks to him. And at the end of the conversation, he's like, who are you? Like, what's your name? Who do I say you are? And God speaks to him and says, I am the I am, which is a very interesting statement. Can you imagine walking up to somebody and saying, what's your name? And they say to you, I am. I am what? But this is how God refers to him. And Jesus shows up on the scene and he starts using these I am statements. I am the true grapevine is the one we're talking about today. Grapevine is a fabulous metaphor. If you can imagine, we have grapes today. I'm not sure we have the full impact of how wonderful grapes are, how important they are. In the ancient world, grapes meant everything. The grapevine meant everything. In many ways, it was the heart of their economy. It meant abundance. Everywhere you would go, there would be pictures of grapes. It represented abundance and blessing and goodness. And grapes grew everywhere. And actually today in the modern day world, there's not one continent outside of Antarctica that you can go to that doesn't have grapes growing. It's something that is spread all over the world. In fact, if you look it up on the internet, I believe it says that the wine industry alone is a $350 billion industry in our world today. I mean, that's outside of just you going to the store and buying some grapes. That's just the wine industry. In the ancient world, it was very similar, incredibly important for their well-being. Some grape or some vines, if you were to go to France today, and some incredibly famous vines are known to be growing as far back as the 12th century. That's how old they are. Grapes have been growing on these vines since the 12th century. And when California is one of the largest grape growers in the world, and many of their vines originally came from Europe. Why would they bring it all the way from Europe? Why would some of these vines last since the 12th century? Well, when it comes to the quality of the grapes, they know that the vine is incredibly important. The quality of the vine passes down through into the fruit that is grown. The quality of the vine is what produces amazing grapes. Yes, you fertilize. Yes, you water. Yes, you do all sorts of things. But the vine is the most important. So that brings us to John chapter 15. I'm going to be reading verse 1 to 8. And this is what Jesus says. He says, I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they will produce even more. You've already been pruned and purified by the message I've given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Some branches are gathered into a pile to be burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, you may ask for anything you want and it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. This brings great glory to my Father. This idea of a grapevine that Jesus is tapping into when it comes to this metaphor harkens all the way back to many passages in the Old Testament. The people of Israel, oftentimes in the Old Testament, were called the grapevine or the vine of God. They were God's grapevine, his people. And so as you would walk into the temple, it's interesting, some of the people who wrote history about the temple and the people of Israel, they talked about the entrance of the temple. And as they would walk into the entrance of the temple, there was this huge carved grapevine over the entrance, and it was covered in gold. And it was a reminder to the people of Israel that as they walked into the temple, it was a reminder of who they were, of who they were called to be, that they were God's grapevine, that they were called to produce good fruit. And so if you look at, there's many passages, but this morning I'll show you Psalm 80, verse 8. It says this, "You brought a vine out of Egypt," referring to God. "You drove out the nations and planted it." It's this word picture of the exodus, of the people of Israel coming out of slavery, going into the promised land. And when they were in slavery in Egypt, God took them. They were a grapevine, and he took them out of the ground, and he replanted them into Canaan. They were a grapevine out of Egypt that God replanted. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7 says this, "The nation of Israel is the vineyard of the Lord of heaven's armies. The people of Judah are his pleasant garden. He expected a crop of justice, but instead he found oppression. He expected to find righteousness, but instead he heard cries of violence." So they are a vineyard. They're a grapevine that God is expecting fruit from. But you can see in this passage, the prophet Isaiah speaking to the nation of Israel and said, you guys are supposed to be producing good fruit. There's supposed to be justice. That is part of the fruit that you're supposed to provide as you stay healthy and connected to God, but instead you're producing oppression. You're supposed to be living a righteous life, a right life that blesses people, blesses those around you. Instead, I experience violence. The people around you are experiencing violence. Chuck Swindoll says this, "By declaring himself the true vine, Jesus took the place of Israel, claiming to be the authentic, healthy vineyard the nation failed to become." Jesus stands up in front of all these people and he says, "I am the grapevine." You can imagine how that would have been shocking to them, because I think within the natural Jewish mind, they'd have been thinking, I think you got it wrong, Jesus. Like, we are the grapevine. The nation of Israel is the grapevine. But Jesus steps in and he says, "Actually, you're not. You're not." As the grapevine, that these people, this nation, had failed time and time and time again. And Jesus steps in place of that nation and becomes what they were supposed to be but never could. Jesus becomes that fruitful, healthy grapevine that his people could never become. Jesus is the healthy vine. So it's no longer about connecting into the nation of Israel. It's no longer about being a part of this people group, this ethnic people group. Jesus is saying, "I am the grapevine. You need to connect into me. If you connect into me, you're going to be healthy. If you connect into me, you're going to have good fruit. If you connect into me, you're going to have life and health." It's no longer about connecting into this nation, but it's connecting into me. And then he goes on in verse 2, he says, he cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit so they'll produce even more. So Jesus is the vine, and we are a branch. Every single one of us, we connect into that vine. We are a branch. And Jesus says to you, if you connect into me, I'm going to prune you. I'm going to prune you. The Greek word that is used here for prune is a little bit of a play on words. It also means to purify or to cleanse. So if you're kind of wondering, what does it mean? So I connect into Jesus and he's going to prune me. What does that look like? It's this idea that as we connect into Jesus, he's going to purify us and he wants to cleanse us. He's going to start cutting things away in your life. He loves you. He loves you so much that he's like, I want you to be even more fruitful than what you are. You've connected into the vine. If you follow Jesus and say, Jesus, I love you. I accept you into my life. There is going to be just natural fruit. It just happens. But Jesus says, I don't want to leave you there. I don't want you just to produce fruit. I want you to be bountiful. I want it to be abundant. I want it to blow your socks off. I want to purify you. He's going to purify you. He's going to cleanse you. Grapevines actually receive a lot of attention. When they prune grapevines, it's not just once, it's constant. Every year you got to prune those grapevines. Maybe it's multiple times a year, I don't know, but I know at least once a year they're pruning those grapevines. Jesus is more interested in changing us on the inside than on the outside. And when he prunes us on the inside, it actually changes our outward actions. He starts with the inside. He starts with the heart. He's like, man, I want to change your heart. Sometimes, I know for us, it's kind of natural as humans. We focus on the outward stuff, the things that we can see, which is okay. But Jesus is like, I'm going to start with the stuff that no one else sees. It's your heart. I'm going to start cleansing it. I'm just going to start purifying it. I'm going to start pruning away. I'm going to start cutting. As he does that, there's kind of, it starts showing itself in outward ways, but that's not where he starts. And we need a master pruner. You know, I was thinking about it this week, and I have one fruit tree in my backyard. I have an apricot tree. And every year, I'm like, I'm just hoping that I get some apricots out of this tree. And I prune it every year. And you know what happens every year? I get like a few apricots. And I was like pondering that this year. I was pondering it for a while. Why is it only get a few apricots? You know what the problem is? I don't know what I'm doing. I don't think the issue is the tree. I think the issue is me. Because I just don't know what I'm doing. Like, I'm not trained in this. So it's like, I think I know I'm cutting off the right stuff, but who knows? Maybe I'm cutting off the wrong stuff. And it made me think about us. The reality is that if we're going to be pruned, we need the right person to prune us. We really do, you guys. If you don't have the right person pruning you, it's just hurtful. And sometimes it produces a little bit of fruit, but not a lot. Sometimes we're trying to prune ourselves. There's a lot of self-help stuff out there. You know, turn on YouTube. Find Tony Robbins. I mean, whatever. There's a lot of self-help stuff out there where it's all geared towards The strength is within yourself. You have the strength within yourself to change you. And it's within you, and you can improve yourself. And it's not terrible stuff, and you can do that, and like you will improve yourself. But I would encourage you, it's way better to go to the master pruner. You know, it's cheaper for me to prune my apricot tree. But as I continue to do it, I'm probably still going to not get a lot of fruit. I need a master pruner to come in. And the, you know, the same thing is for our lives. You know what? We really need Jesus. I can't improve myself that much. I can't really produce that much fruit within my own efforts. And you probably feel the same. You've probably been trying all sorts of stuff. It only goes so far. Jesus, we need you to prune us. And there's dead branches, and he wants to come and he wants to lop off those dead branches within us. What things do you have in your life that's hindering the growth? You know, it's interesting when it comes to pruning is that sometimes there's branches and they look like they could be fruitful, but they're not. And they really need to be taken away. Sometimes there's dead branches that are there as well. And our tendency is we want to keep all of it. And Jesus wants to come in and he says, I know you like this branch and you think it's helpful, but it's not. Would you allow me to cut it out? And sometimes there's dead branches, and he's saying, this has been dead for a really long time, and you're holding on to it really tight. There's anger, there's bitterness, there's hurt, and it's just dead. Can we just take it away? You know, when it comes to the grapevine, the weaker the vine is, the more it needs to be pruned. The more overgrown it is, the more it needs to be pruned. So there's aspects that, you know, if this pruning is about an inward cleansing that Jesus is talking about, it makes me wonder, as the illustration grows, that like, if we don't allow Jesus to be doing that constant pruning in our lives, it gets overgrown. The sin in our lives gets overgrown. And so when we do allow Jesus in, the pruning is just that much harsher. And when that harsh pruning comes in, I think sometimes there's a tendency to be, you call out to God and you go like, do you even love me? Do you love me? This hurts. This stuff that I'm going through really, really hurts. And yet it hurts because he loves us. Pruning doesn't feel good, I don't think. It doesn't feel good. And yet sometimes I feel as we go through the pruning process, we do fight God in it at times. He wants to come and he wants to prune us, but we fight it. We don't like it. And sometimes we're fighting the hand of God. We might not understand it, but we need to trust God that he knows what he's doing. And a lot of times this pruning can happen. God starts pruning us through circumstances in our lives. We all go through hard stuff. And none of us are exempt from that. I even think about the last 2 years, and I think the last 2 years have been incredibly hard. But in the middle of that, I believe that God is wanting to prune us, allowing the difficult stuff we go to where he's like, man, can you let me in and prune you through this tough stuff? In verse 4, he continues, says, remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it's severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. He's like, you gotta remain in me. Remain is this idea of abiding. It's this idea of dwelling. It's sitting with Jesus. Staying connected with Jesus. We need to stay connected to the vine, you guys. Abide there, dwell there. When we think of the word connected, what do you think of? One of the things that popped my mind is like we go on Facebook to connect with people, Instagram to connect with people, Snapchat to connect with people. And yet it's so incredibly shallow. And so Jesus would say to you, I don't want you to connect with me that way. I don't. I don't want your pithy statements. And I don't want your pictures. I don't want you telling me what you ate for dinner. I really want to be with you. I want to spend time with you face to face, not a text. I want to be with you. I want to abide with you. I want to dwell with you. In Exodus chapter 25, verse 8, it says, have the people of Israel build me a holy sanctuary so I can live among them. This is God speaking to Israel. It says, build a sanctuary so I can abide and dwell with you. If you go all the way back to Genesis in the Garden of Eden, that's the idea. It's a sanctuary. It's a place to abide and dwell with God. Jesus shows up on the scene and he says, I am now the temple. I am the sanctuary. You're going to abide with me. You don't have to go to a temple anymore. You come to me. And well, 40 years after that, the temple was destroyed and it never came back. It's never been rebuilt. Why? Because we no longer connect with Jesus through a building. Connect in me. I am the temple, he says. If we're totally honest with ourselves, we as human beings have a tendency to disconnect from the vine. We do. We all do it, don't we? I do it. We disconnect from the vine. And at first, when we disconnect from the vine, it feels okay, right? You know, when you lop off a branch off of a tree or a vine or whatever, it still looks okay, right? Still has life in it. Go out and cut a Christmas tree down. When you go to the Christmas tree farm, it still looks alive and it can still suck up some water, but eventually those pine needles get really brittle because it's been disconnected from the vine. And I think for a lot of Christians, to be honest, they disconnect from the church, they disconnect from Jesus, and it feels like it's okay at first. They don't realize they've cut themselves off from the life source. And over time, like that Christmas tree, it gets dry and brittle and brittle and brittler. Till eventually it gets to the point where it's like all it needs is a tiny little flame and it goes whoo, and it burns. Jesus doesn't want that to happen to us. We dry up and we don't know why. I've known so many Christians that get to a point where they're so dry and they don't know why. And then we question our faith and we say, is it even real? If what I've read, is it even real? Is God real? Is Jesus real? We question the validity of the church. And so we try to make changes within our own lives. And we tell ourselves, I just need more time off. I just need more me time. I just need that. I just need this. Fill in the blank in terms of what you need. And it's funny because we look at everything, but we don't consider the fact of whether or not we've disconnected from the vine. I know in my own life, within the last year, it's felt at times just so incredibly tiring. And there are things that I can do. There are things that I can do in terms of, you know, taking time off and getting rest and doing all those things. But I know that the Spirit of God, there's something greater that He's speaking to my heart oftentimes. And He's saying, Matt, have you disconnected from the life source? Have you slowly disconnected from me? Because there's only so much time off. There's only so much rest that you can get that's going to help. But you need me. There's a story I read on the internet, and it was of this elderly couple down in the States. They're from Iowa. And they were old. They were in their 90s. His name was Gordon Yeager and his wife Norma. And they got in their car one day and they drove out, and they were just going to go do some grocery shopping or whatever they were going to do. And as they drove down the road, they got hit by another car. And so Gordon and Norma ended up in the hospital. They had broken bones, and there was stuff going on with their organs that were damaged, and it wasn't looking good for them. And so they were in two separate rooms, and their life was in the balances. And so the nurses and the doctors decided, let's put this couple together so they can at least be together. If they're going to die, at least allow them to die together. And so they put them together, and Gordon and Norma, they clasped hands. They clasped hands, and they held each other's hands. And not much later, Gordon died. Everything stopped. But they still hold hands. Norma still was holding his hand. And one of the strange things they discovered in this is that even though Gordon died, they were watching the, I don't know what you call it, the little screen, you know, it shows the heartbeat. And Gordon's heart was still thumping, or at least that's what it was showing on the screen. They couldn't figure it out. What they realized is that Norma's heartbeat was flowing through Norm. Or Gordon, I should say. And was registering on the screen. Her life was flowing through Gordon. And I read that story and I said, isn't that the way it is? I think that outside of Jesus, we are dead. But when we grab a hold of Him, His life flows through us. It's an imperfect metaphor, but I do think it speaks of the life of Jesus, of us connecting to the vine. You remain in me and my words remain in you. You may ask for anything you want, it will be granted. When you produce much fruit, you're my true disciples. This is about producing fruit. Jesus is interested in producing fruit. This isn't about us connecting into Jesus and being like, Jesus, I want a Lamborghini. Jesus, I want this, I want that. What He's saying is this, it's like when you're connected into me and you know my heartbeat, you know the things that I want, and you pray for those things. When you're praying for things that are fruit producing, Of course I want to answer that. Of course I want to answer this prayer. I want to answer your fruit-producing prayers. Sometimes we don't get it right. Sometimes we don't truly know the heart of God. But he wants to produce fruit in us. He wants to produce an abundance in us. And he wants to produce all kinds of fruit. All kinds of fruit when we're connected to it. Can you throw that slide up there that says kinds of fruit? I'm not going to go over all this today. But here's some fruit that ends up producing when you're connected into the vine. All those scripture passages, they talk about fruit. When you're connected into me, there's going to be a natural thing where you bring other people to know Jesus. When you're connected into me, there's a holiness and there's an obedience that happens. When you're connected into me, you naturally give. There's fruit. When you're connected into me, there's these good works and service. When you're connected into me, you want to worship and praise Jesus. The things that come out of your mouth, worship me and bring glory to me. What comes out of your mouth? Is it fruit from Jesus or is it fruit from something else? And then there's the fruit of the Spirit, which we're going to get into after Easter. We're going to be talking about what it looks like to be connected into that vine. We're going to transition into communion. If my communion servers could come up. Think about what this represents, what communion represents for us today. If you could go over to the other side. Yeah, thank you. Thanks, guys. Jesus' life produced all sorts of fruit. And when we drink the juice, the fruit of the vine, I think in many ways we're reminded of how Jesus' life was crushed for us, just like grapes are crushed to produce juice or wine. He allowed his life to be crushed for us. He died for us. Why? Because he wants to do some master pruning in us. He wants to cleanse us. He wants to purify us. And so when we take this communion, this bread and this drink, it reminds us of Jesus' death for us.